Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the largest Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
Large and in charge.
Large and in charge.
Special
go
guest.
Go big or go home.
Special guest in the duct tape studio today.
Can we say the trooper's name? Or
yes, we can. Bill Fearon. New Jersey State Police Bill Fearon. He's welcome, my Sarge. Chief weapons and tactics instructor at Gun for Hire. Going on about 3 years now, right, Bill?
Yes, sir.
We've had about a 7 or 8 year relationship. Welcome,
yes.
Bill, again.
Happy to be here.
Yes.
Couple of things. First thing I want to talk about is I'm not happy with this whole Cuba situation.
Cuba? I figured you would be because of all the free cigars
Well, listen, I've been smoking cigars for over 30 years. The embargo's over 50 years old, 54 years, I think.
And you've been smoking Cubans for 30 years.
I believe somebody needs to be slapped, but I believe this right here. And I'm not saying it. It just happens that coincidentally a state trooper is in the studio today, but we should have zero relations with that communist, third-rate, broke-ass country until we get Joanne Chesimard back,
right,
so she could die in a New Jersey State prison for killing a New Jersey State trooper.
I was going to say, refresh the memory of the listening audience.
Bill, you want to give us a little refreshment on that?
Sure. She killed Trooper Warren Forrester back in 1971, and she was known basically as a homegrown terrorist back then, and obviously she still has anti-American feelings, and they should turn her over. One thing about the state police is we don't forget about our own, especially our own.
Correct.
And we won't rest until the murderer of Trooper Forrester is brought to justice.
79, she escaped from prison.
Right.
Made her way to Cuba, and Fidel granted her citizenship and permanent asylum, okay? And Raul is in charge now, who's Fidel's brother. So this is a message for you, Raul, you son of a bitch. Before we have any kind of open trade, and I want to go to Cuba.
You should say it in Spanish.
Okay? Puñeta, puñeta, puñeta. Listen. Give us back Chesimard before we even talk about opening relations. And our president, you know, he did this whole spy exchange and everything with Cuba. And I think that Chesimard should have been the chief instrument in negotiation. She needs to die in a prison cell, not on a beach in Cuba, drinking Havana Club rum and smoking Cohibas.
How old is she now? Well, she's got to be in her
late
60s?
70s. Yeah, she's in her 70s.
Wow.
She needs to die in U.S. soil in a New Jersey State prison. She needs to face justice.
Where was it? Was that Route 80 or was that in Lodi?
No, Turnpike.
On the Turnpike.
Turnpike.
So that it's a shame to that trooper and all law enforcement.
Family.
And family and all law enforcement in the United States that she's allowed to sit on a beach and drink a Cuba Libre or whatever. And now we're going to have open relations with Cuba. And listen, nobody wants Cuban cigars more than me. Nobody wants to visit Cuba more than me. I want to go see the old cars and, you know, the whole bit. But I will not go until she's brought to justice.
I've got a lot of Cuban friends who would disagree with that, too. And the fact that they don't want to go visit Cuba, you know, they don't want to go back to see Castro and the regime. I mean, they escaped with their life, and they have no desire to go back to the homeland.
Yeah.
Was taken from them, you know?
Yeah.
I would wait. If Chesimard was sent back to us today, I would wait about a year before I went back so there's some kind of stabilization or normalcy. I'd wait till a few hundred people get arrested wrongfully, you know what I mean, or whatever. You know, I don't want to be the electric Kool-Aid acid test, you know, that goes to Cuba. I don't want to be the first one who's going to get on a plane and they're like, no, comrade.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget it is a communist country.
Yes, right.
Let's not forget it's closed doors. Hold on, is that the phone?
Sounds like the phone.
Oh, let me get it. Hold on.
In the middle of the show, you're going to answer the damn phone?
It says important. Hello? Yeah. Oh, it's Kim Un-young-jun Shrimp Dick from North Korea.
Oh, how's he doing?
How are you, dictator? Yes, your emperor-ness. Yeah. He doesn't like the format of our show, and he says that if we do not stop broadcasting, he's going to kill Bozo the Clown.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Tell Bozo bye-bye.
So, okay, I have one word for you, Shrimp Dick. Actually, two words. F off. Thank you. Bye. Listen.
Long distance from, yeah, long
from
distance
North Korea.
From North Korea.
So now the dictator of North Korea is going to tell me what movies I could go see Christmas time.
Well, apparently we cave into this shit.
Meow.
Right? Now, I wonder if that directive came from Sony in New York, Sony headquarters in New York, Sony US, or whether that came from Sony in Japan. And if it came from Sony in Japan, what happened? Did they lose their sacks over there? Or?
Sack up, United States. Sack up, Sony. What are they going to do? They're a fifth-rate communist bullshit country. They're all poor. I know they have a nuclear weapons, but it can't reach us. Who gives a shit? Let him launch it. He can lob one out there. It's not going to hit our homes. It's just going to hit somebody else.
I got a Faraday cage. I don't give a shit. My whole house is a Faraday cage.
Sandy, I'm sorry.
I'm the only one with electric in the entire state.
There's another call coming through.
Another one?
I got to take it.
You got to take it, then.
Hold on. All right. Hello? Sandy? It's Al Sharpton. Sharpton! Yes, Al. What can I do for you?
This is Al. What?
He's giving our show an S rating. Sharpton, S rating.
An S rating.
We can't talk about... Anything.
Anything.
Anymore.
You racist.
Unless it's about the oppressed...
Oppressed.
Black people.
Black people are oppressed.
All right. Thank you, Al. Hey, listen, go have a cigar and don't choke on the butt. Bye. Listen. So now...
This is a lot of calls.
I'm sorry. Sony just hired Al Sharpton as a consultant, and he's going to be reviewing all of their scripts. Did you see it? Did you read about it yet?
No.
On Fox News?
No, for real.
Did you know about it yet?
Come on, for real?
That's awesome.
You're just not screwing with me,
right? The chief executive of Sony, her emails were compromised in the hack, and she made fun. She was mocking Obama in an outwardly racist move. She's a high donor Democrat, an Obama supporter, but she was basically saying he would rather watch Planet of the Apes and his favorite movies and stuff.
Oh, my God.
But the press didn't jump on it except like for Fox and Blaze. But now, to get the egg off of her face, she hired Al Sharpton, and there's going to be an S rating, Sharpton rating, on all future movies coming out of Sony.
No way. Come on. Seriously?
I swear to God.
You got to be making this up.
No.
Please tell me you're making
this
up.
It's the truth.
Please, no. Not before Christmas. Yep. Don't tell me shit like
Sharpton
this.
Sharpton is going to be reviewing all the scripts and all the movies. He says Hollywood is stuck in the 50s, and it's too white. And it needs more color, and it needs to show more of the perspective of coloreds. So he is going to be reviewing all the scripts.
Oh, my God.
This is the truth. This is where our country is going. Can you heal the toilet bowl flushing, ladies and gentlemen? And it's flushing the opposite way in memory of Cuba and North Korea and all the other communist miscreants.
We should be in the southern hemisphere then, right?
So I'm not happy. This holiday season right now, what's going on, okay? Kim Jong-un, shrimp dick from North Korea. S rating.
Shrimp dick.
Shrimp dick. An S rating from Al Sharpton, okay?
You shrimp dick.
These two people are going to decide what movies we can watch, okay?
Well, it's a good thing I don't go to the movies much.
In the memory of Trooper Forrester?
Yes.
Bring Joanne Chesimard's ass back to the United States. Let our president know.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
This place is starting to look like either a donut shop or a police precinct. I don't know what the hell's going on. There's cops everywhere.
Yeah, that was Uzzolino.
That was Uzzolino.
He's on my shit list right now.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. Long story.
It doesn't take much to get on your
this
list.
This segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com.
Who's not on
again,
our shit
list? Again,
the
23rd. We're meeting at Montville Executive Suites at 7 p.m. The guys are going to JR in Whippany for cigars and drinks the 23rd of December.
This week.
And the girls are having a SAW meetup. Ron graciously donated his 70-person meeting room.
Nice.
His website is MontvilleOffice.com. It's Montville Executive Suites. 38 furnished private offices. For as little as $58 a month, you can get out of the coffee shop or your mom's basement and have a professional office environment. The other thing I want to say is I want to thank Mike Del Greco again, Walter Haas, Joe C., and everybody else that donated so much stuff for Toys R Tots. The last three boxes are overflowing
Man,
out there.
Overflowing.
We beat 14 boxes last year. We had 17 boxes this year.
Wow.
All right? I just want to say that. And, you know, Mike Del Greco got business from it. Not only did it do that, but the Marine Corps League came here the other day, and the Commandant, Keith Butler, presented Mike Del Greco and me with these signed prints by Tom Miller. Tom Miller was a sniper in Vietnam who is blind in one eye, and he's an artist.
Wow, they're beautiful.
And he does these beautiful prints. This one's of a sniper, and this one's a bunch of toys under a tree commemorating Toys for Tots.
Wow.
I have number 47 of 58 on one and number 692 out of 1,000 on the other one.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And they're signed and dated limited edition prints. I got one of each that I'm going to have framed. They'll be in the range our alumni to see. And Mike Del Greco got a set as well, which he was thrilled that he got a set for that huge check that he sent. So, see, good deeds do go and come back
and
to
you.
I believe in that karma.
Absolutely.
So, Bill, we got you in here today.
You and Kim L. Jung. Shrimp Day.
So, Bill, we're talking a little bit about the home invasions. We had Asian Indians.
Sure.
Down in Mercer County. Was it Mercer County area?
Middlesex County.
That there was four home invasions, and they caught the four shitbags. And the first thing was the shitbags were not of Asian Indian descent, which I thought they might have been because they knew their schedules or whatever. But one of the bad guys that was arrested said, we invaded their homes because we knew they were peaceful people and they wouldn't fight back.
Wow.
So for you liberals out there that believe by not fighting back, giving them what they want, appeasing...
They'll go away.
You know, Winston Churchill, my favorite quote.
Yeah,
an appeaser is someone who feeds the crocodile hoping it will eat him last.
Mm-hmm.
All right? These people became last.
Yeah.
So, Bill, we're talking a little bit about this and, you know, some of the things we want to talk about on the show. You teach, I don't know, what, 50 courses here?
A lot.
Yeah,
right.
And they're not all gun courses. There's a lot of classroom courses. There's a lot of situational courses. Bill goes to people's houses and does home audits. He goes through your house, spends hours with you, looks at your lifestyle, construction of your home, and then he comes back and he generates a report with corrections, plan of attack, doors that you should change, windows you should change. It's very, very, very thorough. The reports are tremendous. I look at them and I'm blown away all the time because this is what he does
for a living. Yeah.
And so you see these people being invaded, and it's because they know that they don't have weapons and they don't fight back. So it's that whole sheep mentality, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to be the sheepdog out there. And, you know, in a lot of the classes that we do, you know, I know a lot of the weapons stuff that's out there, everyone says, oh, make sure the weapon's always safe. Wait, make sure the weapon's always safe. John and I, we always stress during these courses, listen, we're not here to make you safe. We're here to make you dangerous. We're here to make you a person that doesn't want to be reckoned with by the bad guys, you know. And I think a good example is of what happened over the weekend with that family in Alabama there, where they had their weapons in
hand.
Want
to give us some backup on the Alabama one? I mean, that's where they're all around the car. They got the guys that robbed
the
Christmas
guys,
gifts.
And they were holding them at gunpoint.
Citizen's arrest.
Right. Yeah. There was a number of home invasions in the area. And they, did you see it was in Warrior, Alabama? I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, Warrior.
Yeah.
And they were holding they actually saw, they passed by a house, saw the saw this perps doing it. They knew they had already gotten their house hit. So,
but when their house was hit, they had cameras. So yeah, they saw the car, the license plate, and everything.
Right,
right.
And so they, recognized they saw the car in the neighborhood, and they took the law upon themselves.
Right, mm-hmm. Because they were all armed. Everybody in the car was armed. And it was kind of interesting because I sent Anthony a copy of the photo, of the news photo, and I found it kind of interesting that here's the woman who's the only one taking cover behind the truck and everybody else is around.
With a pink gun.
With a pink gun. That was awesome. And you had a different take on this whole thing.
Talk to us about
it. Yeah, I think what I saw in the photo.
Explain the scenario.
Sure, what I saw in the photo is they stopped their truck and they all got out and basically medium positioned themselves in where they had a field of fire covered. You know, it was almost like a semicircle around where the husband or one of the males got out and was actually confronting the bad guys. The female stayed behind the truck for cover. And then you had the other male who moved beyond the other side of the vehicle. And they all had basically a field of fire. So basically these guys knew that we were done. We can't move. We're basically surrounded. But the citizens, they did a nice job because no one presented weapons upon themselves. They didn't aim weapons at each other, which is, you know, refreshing to see because we see that in law enforcement where if you have a pursuit, you see that
all the time.
90 cops running up to the car and everyone with weapons out, and, you know, almost we're lucky that we don't get more, you know, discharges and more cops injured that way. You know, you want to always have proper muzzle discipline and make sure that, you know, you're not presenting your weapon, pointing your weapon in a direction it doesn't want to go. So, I mean, but back to our classes, I mean, you know, that's one of the things we do where we say, instead of looking to stay so safe and make ourselves safe, we want to be basically that sheepdog in society, like you said.
I like that expression, though. We're not here to make you safe. We're here to make you dangerous.
Absolutely.
I really like that.
Absolutely. We want people to know just by the way you carry yourself, by the way that you're looking around, your situational awareness, like, you're not going to get me. Today, you move on to someone else, you know? And a lot of that stuff comes down with the sheepdog mentality that I've been talking about for a while, you know? And it comes from Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, definitely. I've taken a number of his courses, you know, 6 or 7 I've been at already. And, you know, the sheepdog mentality, it's a great mentality to have through life. It's something that says, I'm important. I'm take the safety of myself and my family and my loved ones and my home very seriously. Mm. And I'm going to be out there doing whatever I have to do to defend myself.
And for you people listening, this isn't like these videos you watch on TV, on YouTube with the guys with the beards running around, hanging from ropes and screaming. I'm proud of my training team. We have women of all ages, shapes and sizes, men all ages, shapes and sizes, canes, walkers, mm-hmm. wheelchairs.
Yeah, real life people.
Okay. I mean, these are classes. And, you know, people come in and they're like, can I, you know, I have this disability. Can I take a class like this? Well, let me ask you a question. If someone broke into your house, are you going to have to fight with that disability?
Yeah,
are you just going to raise your hands and give up?
Yeah.
They're like, well, yeah, I'm going to have to fight. Well, then you can take the class and we will tailor your
the
training
class to meet you,
to
what
meet
you need. Yeah.
Whatever, because that's real life, you
right.
know? It's not like we don't have a rider, an excluder that says if you can't run the mile in 3 minutes and you can't climb a rope, you can't take the class. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
We're not all, you know, I was going to say Bruce Jenner, but that's been bastardized. He's a female now, right? So, you know, but, you know, we're not all Michael Phelps. Oh, wait a minute, he's DWI. Yeah. All right. I'm done.
That's a good point, too, because there's a lot of schools in the country that do that, where it's, you know, it's that whole He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Correct.
Sort of thing, and it's just a little ridiculous because I look at him, I look at me, and I'm like, what the hell do I at my age and lifestyle at this point, I don't see myself crawling around on the ground at 30 degree weather just to
our
shoot.
Training is mm-hmm. we're America's Urban Defense Institute. Listen, it's nice to roll around in the sand and shoot a handgun at 150 yards and pop the balloon. It happens in a lot of schools. But when are you really using that?
Right, exactly.
We're talking about homes, densely populated areas, inner city
right.
areas. This is
right.
where we live. This is where we thrive.
Someday, with special needs.
If we have carry permits, we get a lot of guys, Bill will tell you, to take our classes that have carry permits. They travel out of state. They're going to be in malls. They're going to be in a Denny's. They're
right.
going to be in a McDonald's. This is the
heavily
real life
populated
training.
Areas, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Not hanging upside down from a tree and
yeah.
shooting no. your gun at 100 yards. It's bullshit.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. To me, all training is good training.
Yeah, it's because it's fun, maybe.
But I want real life stuff.
Right.
Our stuff is
right.
based on real world, and these guys never stop reading and studying. Bill writes for New Jersey Cops Magazine.
Right. Yeah.
Every month he writes one or two training articles for New Jersey Cops Magazine. So he's out there, he's relevant, and he's always looking at the crime stats and what's going on. So we're always trying to apply that to our curriculum in the classes here. And then he gets a ton of feedback from the students. What'll happen is, again, because we don't believe in this one dogmatic way of training, if he has students' feedback, well, what do I do if I'm on the second floor? All of a sudden, it's in the next class.
Right.
You know, like we're addressing
right.
that now,
right.
which is good because you can't think of everything.
Right.
Because
right.
everybody has their own special needs. You know, like we had somebody who was taking a class, they have a disabled son. It's like, how do I get him out of the house? And Bill's like, well, you have to bring the fight there. You have to be set up so that you can run into your son's room to defend your son and yourself from that point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
something you don't think about.
Correct, right. correct. You only think about me. I only care about as long as Winston makes it out, I'm good.
We're good. Yeah, I'm at the freaking window. Hey, yeah, there's a problem.
You know what I mean? I lower
I'll
him down.
I'll call the cops.
I lower him down from the window. I have his harness. I lower him down. We're good to go.
We'd be pretty selfish, don't we?
I don't care about anybody else. I'm sorry.
All right, when we come back, Bill, I want to talk to you, too, about businesses and what businesses can do.
Absolutely. Kimmel Haitian.
Pick it up, give it a spin. For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra wide ports so two people can stand side by side and shoot. There's lights in the ports so you're well lit. We also have three times as much light down range that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left you'll see our large classroom and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids, and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids, and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Dr. Eric is in Bridgewater, New Jersey, not far from where those home invasions were, correct?
Yeah, not far.
Dr. Eric, strong supporter of Gun
Different
for Hire
county,
Radio
but...
and the Second Amendment. Check him out, Waldorf Chiropractic, online and Facebook. He also wrote a book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. Keep the money and
it's
keep the
footnotes
business.
In it, it can't help us.
No. Keep the money and keep the support in with those who support us and those that do not support us. We should tell them to go to hell. Your roofer should be pro-gun. Your landscaper
yep.
should be pro-gun. Your shoemaker, your
yep.
butcher, whatever. You talk to those people because you have the buying power.
Right.
And that's why we support Waldorf Chiropractic.
Right.
Okay. The other thing I want to talk about, a real quick letter before Bill gets into it. This is from Tom Miller in Coldwater. What's MI? Michigan?
Oh, good God almighty.
Okay, Coldwater MI. Dear Mr. Calandro, call me Mr. Calandro. Last year, my grandkids gave me a gun calendar, and when I got to October 15th, I couldn't resist saving it and sending to you. Isn't it? It isn't every day that the fifth most dangerous gun in the United States comes up on your calendar. Gun Digest calendar, October 15th. The dangerous Derringer.
The most Derringer. The most dangerous Derringer in the world.
He wrote, "Enjoy your show and would love to see your range, but I have promised myself to never set foot in New Jersey or New York. Maybe Smart you would man. Consider building one in a free state. Coming soon."
Yeah, if Anthony can figure out where MI is, yes, then maybe he can come visit you.
I have become an NRA Life member. Yes, I'll vote for you. And also joined every Second Amendment Association in New Jersey, even though I've never been in your state. I can't imagine living behind the Iron Curtain and hope in some small way I can help. You just helped, Tom. Tom Miller, thank you so much for that. It made us laugh a little bit. We appreciate the support. The Gunfire Radio site was down for 2 days. Thank you, Jose. Epic fail. and it's interesting because I got emails from all over the country and Canada from people I've never heard before telling me the site's down. And these are people that have never sent in an email or anything before. So, wow, our reach is so huge.
Dude,
I can't believe
it's 2 million people. So it's that's a very, very big footprint.
I love it.
And you know what? It's all because of them. It's certainly not because of any shit we're doing.
Did you know in Olympia, Washington State, they had an I Will Not Comply rally.
I saw
over 100 people open carried their guns and burnt their carry permits on the lawn of the state house.
Oh, man. That's and
fantastic. They said, I will not comply. I like it. I
wonder where they got that from.
The other thing is, in Virginia, Governor McAuliffe introduced one gun a month and gun violent restraining orders. Welcome
Bend
to
over,
New
Virginia.
Jersey. Virginia.
We told you. How many times did we say it? What happens here doesn't end up here. It doesn't stay here. It festers like a cancer throughout the country.
Welcome to New Jersey, okay? Unbelievable, but guess what? You're with us now.
Yes.
One gun a month.
You
Who
voted
would have
for
Virginia, the home of the NRA?
Yeah.
Okay? And they're going to get one gun a month. Guess what, NRA? Maybe you should have supported ours a little more in New Jersey. Maybe it wouldn't have bled to your home state.
Right, there
now
you go.
Now you're going to have to answer to the people in your state.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
Not some forgotten state, one of the 13 colonies up way up here north here.
Yeah,
or something.
One of the 13 colonies. Well, Virginia was part of the...
I know. I'm saying, but we're also, we're like brothers in arms here.
He don't get out much, folks.
By the way, in the Woodland Park Range, we have the Patriots Pork Roll Canteen.
Yes.
And in the canteen, the whole menu is pork roll, except the veggie burgers, the Benedict Arnold. We have one sandwich served on French bread. That's called the Retreat.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Yes. Listen to me. We had Tom O'Byrne, who built the range, the contractor. He donated an 1862 Trenton musket
that
we have hanging on the wall with lights. Made in Trenton, New Jersey in 1862, and it fought in the Civil War.
1862.
It's hanging on the wall.
Wow.
It's a beautiful... Come on in. Check
it out. Beautiful, beautiful gun.
Bill, let's talk about your... We started a clinic series because some people don't have 4, 8, 10 hours or whatever, and we wanted to focus on certain things. Let's talk a little bit about some of these clinics that you're introducing starting January, right?
January. We have dates are on the website, right, and we're actually introducing two new clinics. And it's funny because what you were saying before, the clinic started because of the students. You know, in our courses, the urban courses, we go over combat reloads, we go over barricade shooting, we go over support side shooting. And some of the students came back and said, I wish we could do that more. So we started these clinics up where we just offer an hour and focus on combat
just
reloads.
Just one particular item out of it.
Exactly. Wow. And they've been well received. And we actually started up two more clinics. One is a self-defense clinic where, obviously, New Jersey is not a gun-friendly state. We all know that. So this self-defense clinic will offer something where, obviously, you can defend yourself a little bit better and get just a feeling. You get more of a situational awareness. And then we also started up a force-on-force clinic where we're actually going to be shooting each other.
Oh,
students
nice.
Will shoot instructors. Instructors will shoot students, okay? Not live fire, obviously. We'll be using airsoft weapons, and we'll be having scenarios basically mimicking a home invasion, mimicking a carjacking, mimicking a mugging, and then you defend yourself against that. And I'm looking forward to that because, you know, all of our students that come through, and especially our alumni students who have done a bunch of the courses, they always ask for this stuff, this the scenario-based stuff, so I'm really looking forward to
that. Is it just shoot on shoot, or is it like a knife against a gun type of thing?
No,
or?
we're going to be doing, it's not, every scenario is not going to be, it's not like the Wild West where shoot them up, shoot them all the time and stuff like that. It's going to be, the student has to make the decision to shoot, you know, in the instance, and then he's going to have to defend himself, you know,
it's
in that encounter.
Kim Jong-il calling back again. I don't understand.
Shrimp dick.
But the student's going to have to then justify and understand why he shot and be able to explain himself and see if he can come up with a reasonable explanation, and then we can kind of guide him as far as legal laws and stuff and basically tell him, call Evan Knappen. You know, that would be your explanation more than anything else. So.
Bill has referenced, and I've referenced this show, Gun for Hire Alumni. When we have students that have taken a certain amount of classes and reached like level 3 or Camp 50, where you sleep here in the range, you don't even want to know what he does to people. It's and they pay for it.
I've seen, and they pay for it.
And they pay for it. Dumping water. Anyway,
fire hoses.
And, yeah. Anyway, but we have a special lanyard that our alumni wear to let staff know that these people have taken the highest levels of our training, and they basically, you know, they're offered a lot more courtesies than the normal person shooting in the range because they've earned it, you know.
Right.
And that's our Gun for Hire alumni, and our alumni are always looking for more, and our alumni continues to grow. We have probably over 1,000 people in the Gun for Hire alumni right now. And,
well, man, how many tens of thousands over the years have you trained? I mean, it's
tens of thousands. Yes,
tens of
thousands.
It's been. I mean, just on your mailing list. I remember the first time we looked at your mailing list alone, and I said, "Oh my God, I can't." When I first met you, and
that's because we deliver what we promise. We over deliver, right, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely.
No one walks out of here pissed off. Everybody walks out here happy. Everybody has a great time. Everybody learns a lot, and we just continue to strive. I mean, now we have the Kali. I had them work on, we're doing a defensive cane class starting in January.
That's going to be cool.
I'm taking the first class. I'll be in the first class, whatever else signs up for it. And we always align ourselves with the best. As far as I'm concerned, Bill is the best in training from state police and Uzzolino SWAT team, Passaic County. He's the best. We have him in here. And it's not only being the best by being a snake eater and being the best shot, but you also have to be the best at teaching.
Yes.
You also have to be the best at learning.
Yes. Right.
You also have to be the best at listening.
Yes.
You know, you can't just come in, this is my way of doing things,
right.
And done.
That
you
whole
know?
Drill
it doesn't work
thing.
That way anymore. People are paying money and they want to learn.
Right.
They don't want to be ridiculed. But we're tough. We'll knock somebody off the line for a safety violation or something like that. But who's usually, Bill, who's usually the hardest on themselves is the person.
Sure. Right. Absolutely.
When somebody screws up, you'll see the look in their face, go, oh, I screwed up. Oh, my! I'm sorry. It's okay. Right. It's okay. You learn from it. Let's get back into it. Because we push the envelope. You know, we bring cars in the range. We're shooting in cars. We're shooting out of
you
cars.
You guys blew a car up the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, he's doing all kinds of stuff. He's got, you know, doing push-ups and running in between to get the adrenaline and the epinephrine up. And now, again, it's based on your physical ability.
Yeah.
We get guys that come in, they don't do the running portion. You know, if you can't do it, you don't do it. We don't want anybody to get hurt, you know. But
and we have some students who basically said, you know what, your course is a wake up call. I actually lost 40 pounds because of the fact that I want to be able to defend myself,
and
you know,
I
saw
know that
where
I
need to go. I need to get my physicality.
Bill Abasian, Paul Trotter, they all knocked off weight after Camp 50.
Wow.
Camp 50 is a whole weekend crucible that the guys came in to take. They slept in a classroom in sleeping bags. They were woken up numerous times in the middle of the night and had to go shoot stuff that was set up for them in the range. My guys took turns sleeping and put them through this, you know, this Iron Man competition. And we had a 16-year-old in the class.
Sure.
Wow.
And a 66-year-old in the class.
Wow.
All right, so
that's pretty diverse.
It was intense. Mm-hmm. I stayed for like only half of it. I couldn't handle it. I'm done.
I'd be over at the Waldorf.
Bill, what other clinics do you have? Let's talk about the other clinics that you do.
Well, we do barricade shooting, where you're shooting from behind a barricade, support side, over the top, laying down, prone position, the combat reloads, the one-handed reloads. All sorts of stuff we do. TVOC, where we actually shoot from a vehicle.
Tactical vehicle operations.
We were shooting from a vehicle.
Oh, I want to hear more
around
about that.
I want to talk about TVOC and Train with a Trooper when we come back.
Yeah, too. And I want to get back to that thing about defending a business, what small business owners can do also.
Oh, yeah, we ignored you on that.
Right.
Sorry.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone.
No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
I hate Christmas music, bah humbug. Listen, this segment is not brought to you by Jose from PhillyGunTraining.com.
Whose business just closed down. Moved to Delaware. He's no longer on Spring Garden.
Because he let the Gun for Hire radio site drop for 2 days. So
you do know he does this part-time.
Go to PhillyGunTraining.com and send him a hate email.
These are all volunteers.
But then say hi to Jose. He is the best. And if you're in the Philly area, check him out. He's a Gun for Hire alumni.
He makes the best chicharrone I've ever had.
He's just a great guy. So PhillyGunTraining.com. Check him out. He's really a good dude. So, Bill, a couple of things I wanted to talk about is we do a class here called Train with a Trooper. It's basically our second steps. But if you've had shooting experience and you want to take it to the next level, Bill offers private lessons, two-hour increments, where you come in and he'll kick your ass. Okay? It's called Train with a Trooper.
Is that really anything that they want to have? They want to concentrate on a particular thing.
Yes, it could be a general, right? Go ahead, Bill.
No, what we do is I basically market it as, you know, listen, there's a difference between shooting at paper targets and coming to the range just shooting and having fun, and there's a difference between shooting that way and training in order to save your life in a real gunfight. And it means you have to do a lot of different stuff, you know, drawing from the holster, number one, making sure your reloads are quick and concise, movement, scanning, be able to get the shots off without even aiming, but more focus on point shooting because, you know, understand a lot of encounters happen, just like you were saying before, very close.
Boom,
they don't
have
they happen quick and they happen close. You know, most gunfights happen from the 0 to the 3-yard line, which is 9 feet away. And you got to think about your own situation. If someone's in your bedroom, how close are they?
They're probably six, seven.
They're
feet, right on top of you.
You know, yeah. And if
so
you have that 100-yard bedroom, I want to be your best friend.
You could come to Bill. You can email Bill, and it's BillF@gunforhire.com. You can email Bill and say, I'm right-handed. I want to learn how to shoot left-handed. And he'll set up clinics with you and teach you one-on-one how to shoot. If you say, my wife and I, or three of my friends at work, all want to learn how to shoot left-handed or barricade, he'll do it for you. We also have a class here called Police Academy Prep, which he's very busy with.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because some of these kids are young kids, and their parents are paying to put them through what they call a fast track, alternate route,
right,
where they're paying to go to a police academy and then hoping they get picked up by a police department. And a lot of these are young kids, but because they got, like, the crew cuts, they look a little older or whatever. And sometimes I'll see, like, a mom sitting in the lobby area with her jacket over. Yeah. And I'm like, can I help you? Oh, I'm waiting for my son. She's training with Bill.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my mom brought me for my
police academy school.
Prep.
Yeah, that's
but that's cool. But that's cool. I understand. And Bill does a lot of that. So if you have anybody who's thinking about the police academy, or if they're having trouble with their qualifications, we have a 100% success rate. Starting with me, when I was the chief instructor before all of these younger guns came up under, when I became the business manager of this place or whatever, we have never had someone fail their police academy or on-the-job quals after they've taken classes with us.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Am I right, Bill?
Absolutely true.
And we've had people where they've been on double secret probation, where they failed three times, and last time they lose their job, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bill has taken them. Before that, it was me or whatever. And guess what? They pass.
Yeah. Well, you know the interesting thing. I go back to the time that when we were filming the simunitions sections that you guys were doing, and you had guys who were skilled IDPA, I mean competitive IDPA shooters, who would come into those scenarios and shit the bed.
Absolutely.
I mean, badly shit the bed.
Right.
And they would come in really cocky, and just that whole stress level that was going on, you would figure that. And it was amazing to watch.
Sure.
Correct.
Yeah, no, the best training you can do is that force-on-force training, because it puts you in that real-life scenario.
Yeah.
And understand that, you know,
fight
you're going to have to justify yourself and understand that, you know, either you shot an innocent person, or you missed a bad guy and you got shot, or, you know, you missed clues, whatever it is. You didn't get proper cover, and it's a very eye-opening experience, definitely. That's where all the high-level training is really at, that force-on-force stuff.
Talk about TVOC a little bit.
TVOC is that's a fun course. We started doing TVOC. We started doing vehicle operations in our Urban 3 courses.
Tactical vehicle operations course.
Tactical vehicle operations course, and it's basically broken down to a clinic now. It's a two-hour clinic where we're actually driving on the range, and we have to either
50-yard range. We drive.
We drive in a 50-yard range. Yes, we're doing J turns and all sorts of nonsense. It's all good stuff.
No, inside
the range, sure. And you're actually shooting from a vehicle. You're actually having to defend yourself, and you get to realize that when we shoot into the vehicle, the car doesn't offer the cover or you think it offers. Everyone thinks I'm safe in my car, but we show that, you know, rounds will go through the windshield and they don't really have any effect as far as where they're going to hit in the seat. We put targets up inside the car and let the students actually shoot inside the car through doors, and then we actually show them where the cover is in the vehicle, and they can shoot from around the vehicle, under the vehicle, if they have to make an escape, or just let them drive and hit reverse and get out of there, you know, if you have to. But you're actually shooting from a vehicle outside the windows or through the windshield at targets, and people love it.
Give me like a couple of places in a vehicle that would be covered. What would be like the engine block or wheel?
The engine block, the wheel well, behind the vehicle, you know, depending on where the shooter
where,
is
how
to
it's
you,
parked
how relevant it is to you and stuff like that. Right, exactly. Right, but I mean the windows and stuff like that, or the doors. People think the doors are covered. The rounds will go through there pretty easily, and I'm talking 9mm, not big shotgun rounds or anything like that. 9mm rounds will easily penetrate a door.
Now,
cars
conversely,
are cheaply made.
Have you seen any 9mm ricochet off window? I mean, in your entire career or here?
No,
you know,
I
you
mean,
hear stories.
I mean,
about it,
there's
that.
A lot of stuff where, you know, and usually the round that will ricochet off a windshield more than anything else is a 45 because it travels
so slow.
It travels slow. But I've never seen it. I mean, I've heard about it. You know, one thing that people need to realize, if you are getting cover behind a vehicle, you want to position yourself about 2 feet off the vehicle, because sometimes when it hits a sheet metal, either the bullet or pieces of the bullet will come apart and ricochet off. So if you have that 2 feet standoff, that'll usually alleviate the ricochet there. So
and there's certain angles too, right?
Certain angles. I mean, definitely wheel wells are very good. You get behind a wheel well and you're good there. But again, a lot of the things we talk about in TVOC too, as far as we have good cover in certain areas, but you know, don't die behind your cover either. Sometimes you have to move. If you're being outflanked, if you're outnumbered, you're going to have to move too, you know.
Don't die behind your cover.
Yeah. Right.
It's a very good, strong statement there.
Yeah, very strong
statement. Now, Bill and Jimmy G, the gun guy, and John Uzzolino, they put together a newsletter, and he's going to tell you about it. And I'll premise, if anybody wants the newsletter, info@gunforhire, and say, send me the, tell them, Bill.
Jimmy, John, and I started up this thing, basically. We wanted to do something more for the alumni and the people who take courses. And what we did, we started this email list. It's a Sheepdog Warrior at, you know, Gun for Hire. And basically, if you take an urban course, you get on this email list. And what we always talk about is we give practical safety tips. We talk about training. We talk about situational awareness. It's basically, it's almost like a blog, a you know, 3-4 paragraph blog as far as situational awareness, you know, how to train, how to make yourself a better shooter. And the feedback has been awesome. I mean, we've gotten over 100 emails saying,
now, is this
finally,
something that you have to take
you
the course?
You have to take a course.
You have to take the course.
Now, and the newsletters are relevant. They talk about a current, like, home invasion or something that happened. The last one had to do with holiday shopping, following the format of stuff we cover on the show too as well. But they get into it a little deeper, and they talk about different shooting scenarios and everything. So it's really good.
Are you guys thinking about doing something that maybe our listeners can sign up for?
Yeah, that's why I told them, send an email to info@gunforhire that you're interested, and these guys will reach out to them.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, excellent. I mean, like I said, we reserve it pretty much for people who take the urban courses.
Because it's relevant to what you've taught them already.
Absolutely. But I mean, if we have people out there that are, you know, really interested in it, like I said, said sign
or
up.
Or maybe some general stuff that we...
Because they'll put in the writings, remember in Urban 2 we did this? Well, look how it played out in this scenario, this shooting that happened in Ohio.
Something that
or
happened
whatever.
In the news that's relevant to whatever happened. Exactly. That you just went, it's very... Mm-hmm. That's really great follow-up. I really like that.
It's a great. It's really good and well received. And we've gotten a bunch of emails.
Oh, I can imagine. Sure.
Finally, this is what we've been looking for. This is awesome. You know, stuff like that.
Business is next when we come back.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Merry Christmas, darling.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get back into it in 1 second. I got a letter from Glenn Gerhardt, and I thought Sandy would enjoy this. We've been talking for 4 years about Cloward and Piven.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn sent the 8 points of the Cloward and Piven strategy. And if anybody here that listens to our show, if you've never heard of Cloward and Piven, Google it. And there are 8 levels of control that must be obtained
and think
before
of these,
you're able.
As he's reading these things, think of things that are happening in the news, either have happened or are happening right now.
Written in the 60s.
Yes.
Okay. There are 8 levels of control that must be obtained before you're able to create a social state. The first is the most important. Number one, health care. Control health care and you control the people.
Wow. Obamacare.
2, poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible. Our president brags that since he became president, we have more people on welfare than we ever had before.
Absolutely. And the jobless rate is higher than it's been since the Jimmy Carter days.
Correct. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them to live.
Right. Correct. And this is what we say all the time about the socialist agenda is the fact that you get as many people as you possibly can, dependent upon the state, and who's going to vote against their own self-interest.
No, mm-hmm. Nobody. Number 3, debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you're able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty.
We are now deeper in debt than we ever have been as a nation, the greatest debtor nation. We printed $1 trillion of monopoly money this past weekend. Just this past weekend, what do you think your dollar is really worth?
The same as the ruble.
It's got to collapse. This is something that we should, you know, we get a lot of shit when we stray off target on the gun issues.
We're not.
But this
though.
Is something that is very,
I'm gonna tell
very
you why we're
critical.
Not. Because number 4 in Cloward and Piven, gun control.
Gun control. Mm-hmm.
Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way you're able to create a police state.
Right. Yeah.
That's number 4.
Right.
Okay. Number 5, welfare, take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Number five, education. Okay? Take control of what people read and listen to. Us.
The Federal Department of Education.
Of what children learn in school.
Common, right.
Common Core.
Common Core.
Number seven, religion. Remove the belief in the God from the government and schools. Happening everywhere.
Happening every single day.
And number eight, our president's great for this one. Class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent and will be easier to take tax the wealthy with the support of the poor.
Which
Thank
is exactly
you, Glenn
what,
Gerhardt.
Absolutely. Now, all eight have been fulfilled. How
all
long?
Eight have been fulfilled.
How long? How many more generations before we are a socialist nation?
Sure. Oh, it's coming.
Sure. It's here.
You think generations?
Oh,
I don't even think it's that
no.
far.
Because right now, if you speak to a 20-something or a 30-something, that age group does not know what freedom really is.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
We remember from children, but not that much more.
Absolutely.
You know, because even as it started eroding back when we were kids, but I remember we talk about it all the time, Bill, that I learned how to shoot at the PAL. And my best friend's father was a police sergeant. And we would call police headquarters and say, "Hey, we're going down to the dumps to go shoot rats." All you'd get back from the dispatcher, and, "All right, you boys be careful now."
Yep,
absolutely.
That was it.
Yep.
Sure.
And you took your .22, slung it over your shoulder, and I didn't live that far away from the studio right here.
Sure.
Now, we now that we're depressed. But yeah, so Cloward Piven plays into gun control.
Absolutely.
Bill, we talked before. We get business owners that come in all the time that have special needs and they want to know the law and they want to know the defense. Talk a little bit about what you do in that aspect, because we have a lot of business owners that listen to our show.
Absolutely. No, we can. I mean, we can do an assessment for them, see what they're at, and you know, my feeling is you know the Israelis they have it down pretty good. You know, if you're a business owner, you want to start evaluating your clientele before they even walk in the door. You know, if you
so
can,
they have
possibly.
That man trap usually like in a
the man you can have a man trap in there. You can know who your customer base is. And, you know, basically, I don't want to say profile. That's a bad word for troopers to use. But you can profile the people that are supposed to be there, then all of a sudden pick out what's wrong with this person. But as far as physical things, definitely, I mean, cameras and videos are a good start. But understand that a camera or video has never stopped a crime. If someone's intent on doing a crime, they don't care.
You just
put a hoodie on
it,
or whatever.
They don't really care.
You know, the detectives can follow up later as they clean up all the blood or something like that, you know?
Yeah. While they're taking the report, the video is nice to have.
Right. But it's things like a man trap, or there's certain things you can do to a window. Basically, extra levels of security are always good. You know, whether you have an initial checkpoint where people got to be checked in, it serves as almost a better mindset for people, you know, that work there more than anything else. Before anything can happen, they have to check in before they even get inside the door.
So that would be more in a like a professional office sort of a scenario. But what about in a retail store when you're pretty much, you know,
he
you really want
thing.
As many people to come in as
he'll,
possible.
He'll go to the Absolutely. Business and he'll review the layout of the business. Again, most of the business owners come, they don't even know they can have a gun on their person in their
right.
business.
Right.
And Bill will educate them with that.
Absolutely.
Right, which is really critical to understand in the state of New Jersey because we're so anti-gun. But all you have to do is own the business. You don't have to own the property, but you have to own the business, and you can maintain the firearm inside that business.
Absolutely.
But what else? I mean, what other kind of tips do you normally give, or do you see? What do you?
I mean, a lot of things. There's so many different things you can do. I mean, but like you were saying, if you own a weapon, you're allowed to have it on that business. And you know, my feeling is the only way to stop an armed incursion is with an armed presence. So you know, don't be afraid to carry that weapon, you know, in that place of business. Now,
can
I know
you,
it does become
you
a little bit of an effort.
Would you suggest if you know open carry a firearm in a business, suppose as a business owner anywhere in the country, would you how do you feel about open carrying in a business versus?
I mean, it'll probably depend on what type of business you have, you know, I would think. I mean, obviously in a range, you know, people expect to see guns. If you're in a clothing store, I mean, you know, if you want to
scare customers away.
And you're walking around with a 1911
strap. And I prefer the element of surprise.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'd want to, you know, but I mean, as far as just those initial checkpoints and bringing people in, and, you know, one of the things that stores do is they put a greeter right there. And, you know, obviously if a bad guy's walking into the store, if the greeter's supposed to say, you know, good morning, good afternoon to everyone, and if that person kind of shifts his eyes away, something like that, that's a telltale sign. What are you here to do? You know, normally when someone, especially in New Jersey and here in the Northeast where everyone's mean to you, if someone says good morning, you know, oh, good morning, oh, what a surprise, someone's being nice,
holy
you know.
Holy crap, what do you want?
Yeah, usually they're like, you know, F you know, whatever. So
good morning, what's good about it, damn
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. So if you have that greeter there, just to kind of, you know, I mean, and obviously you can give them a little bit of training as what to look for, but that's one key thing that retail stores do all the time.
Do you find that dissuades, you know, crime? If there's a greeter there and they're being, someone comes in and a staff member acknowledges them, does that say to the person who's a chronic shoplifter that, all right, maybe there's somebody watching me? Or does it just say to the novice shoplifter, there's somebody watching me?
It probably says across the board, someone's watching me. Yeah. Someone's, I'm going to be sought here. You know, it I'm going to be looked out at after.
Kind of gives the vibe that the store has their shit together.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you go to a high-end jewelry store or walk into Louis Vuitton in the mall, there's always the guy in a suit and tie standing right by the door, and he usually has a little lapel pin on. It almost looks like it's law enforcement or something. They could be a retired cop, could just work for a security company. But they just say, hi, how are you doing today? And they, again, like Bill said, they look for any kind of tells if you look shifty or shady. And and that would tell me, oh, okay, this place has their shit together, and they're probably watching me. And let me go next door and rob the candle barn or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Yeah, they have that, the candle barn.
Yeah, and you always want to have a plan that the employees know. It's funny. I did some work for a Fortune, you know, probably 500 company, and basically their plan was, we don't care about the people under us. We just want our CEOs, our four CEOs, to be able to get out.
Nice.
I was like, not. Don't let that plan out.
Yeah,
to your
don't let anybody know that.
We don't care about you little peons. You know, we want to
remember.
Worry
and
about.
Banks are just the opposite. Let them leave with the money.
Right.
As soon as the bad guys are out of the bank,
lock
the
door.
But give them whatever they want, because we don't want our customers, our employees, to get hurt. Let them go. We don't care what they take. Let them go and then lock the door. See, that's the opposite. Here, right. It's the same way. Everybody's supposed to protect me and not the employees below me.
Well, that's right. Very true. Yeah. But everybody's here strapped. You know, this is.
Yes.
Yeah, but we're strapped. And unless they have a badge on their belt, their guns are not exposed here.
Right.
Like other places, everybody walks around with a gun.
Well,
because
everybody wants to play cop.
Correct. I'm not big on that. We have a little bit of. This is still New Jersey, and people are gun phobic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we have closet gun owners. It's amazing.
And
how many
plus,
people.
You get some of these clowns, not necessarily in New Jersey because you can't carry in New Jersey, but who have those stupid concealed carry badges that they wear. That's got to be ridiculous.
That could get you locked up, too.
Yeah. It's just stupid.
Right.
It's just really stupid. And then especially today, with what you guys got to put up with all the hate, you know, the cop hating stuff. In fact, I've got the sweatshirt you gave me with the trooper insignia on it.
Yeah.
My wife said, you're not leaving the house with that on it. I said, damn right I am. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
that's bad.
Tell
her
to sack
like
up.
Bad sack up.
Die sack up.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't support cops. How dare you? Yeah.
Bill Fearon, New Jersey State Police, Chief Weapons and Taxes Constructor. His email is BillF@gunforhire.com. What's the F? Anyway. Our first two phone calls today. Unbelievable. Listen, guys and girls that are listening. Evan Knappen, Friday the 13th. Bill teaches the shoot, don't shoot in Knappen's class. Friday the 13th of February, Knappen will be here for his gun law seminar. Masad Ayoub will be here May 20th on. Bill is also going to be one of the instructors working with Masad Ayoub.
Sweet.
Sandy, we won't be here. We'll be in the Blade Show in Atlanta.
Yes.
Okay. And you want to build your own AR, build a bear, gift certificates, or see Jimmy the Gun Guy. We have a ton of holiday swag here. Check out our new clinic. Send an email to info@gunforhire if you're interested in the Sheepdog Warrior stuff. We'll see if we can get you in there. Otherwise, can the holiday music. Thank you for being on, Bill.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks, Bill. Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gunfire Radio. Gunfire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and the License of Broadcast Music, Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Ebenezer Scrooge, Chief Weapons and Tactics Officer Bill Fearon, and the rest of the crew here at Gunfire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. A happy Hanukkah and a very, very Merry Christmas to all of you. And to all America, good night. Say Merry Christmas, Winston.